Nikki Nolan, and this is Matter of Life and Debt, a show about people in the United States and their student debt. Today's episode, Student Loan Cosigner. I talk with Reggie Harris, musician, educator, and activist. We discuss his views on the intersectionality of activism. He also shares his experience as a cosigner of a student loan that doesn't even belong to him. Reggie is featured in the Scared to Debt documentary series. This is his story.
Welcome to the podcast! It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Hey, thanks for inviting me.
So we're going to jump right into it. How much student debt do you have right now?
Actually, I just looked at it and it's down to $15,039.
What's interesting about your story is that you actually, the student debt isn't for you. Tell us a little bit about what this loan is, how you got student debt.
Yeah, I wish it were for me. I'm feeling like I should at least have a degree or something as a result. I got a call. This was years and years ago. I got a call from my sister one night, and she and my brother-in-law were calling because my nephew was in school at Clark University in Atlanta. And he had gone there on a track scholarship, and something happened with the track team, and the scholarship got taken away. So they were in a panic because they didn't really have money to have him continue in school. And the school basically had written to them to say that they were going to throw him out. And they went in a panic, and they said, if you could just cover this loan with us, because they were tied up in another loan. And they said, if you could cover this with us, then we'll just make sure that everything goes well and we don't default. Well, as it happened, he graduated. His last year was kind of difficult, but he got out, and a year went by. And then we got this message from the New Jersey Higher Education Student Assistance Authority that he had defaulted on the loan. He was still living in Atlanta. I called, and it just started some real dissension and tension in the family because we couldn't get a straight answer from anybody. We couldn't get a straight answer from them. And then all of a sudden we had this debt. And I didn't know anything about student loan. I didn't take out a student loan when I was in school. And so in addition to other debts that we had, career and this and that, we had this thing. And then I discovered how hard it was to deal with these people. And so we've been kind of dealing with that for like the last 10 years.
What made it so complicated to deal with them?
Basically, they weren't interested at all that it wasn't for us, that we were signed on to a loan for a nephew. It was just, well, here's the money and pay it on our schedule and deal with it. So, and then I started finding out what the people were hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And then, of course, I've been working with Mike Camoin for a long, long time on a variety of different projects. And since he became a filmmaker, and from time to time over the last few years, he would say, I'm working on this project. And here's, can I show you this clip? And he would show me these clips of, Ralph Nader or these clips of Matt and the clips of people talking about how this whole thing started. And I realized that over the course of time, my wife and I had never discussed this with anybody. We'd never shared this information. We were ashamed that we had worked ourselves into this dilemma. And we just carried that shame around and swallowed it.
Was there any sort of tactic that you took that really helped you break out of that?
It was actually, I had a liver transplant in 2008, and I've had to just deal with facing who I am. And I had to deal with just a lot of situations that I found myself in. I had a lot of debt from medical bills and just all of the colliding debt coming together and having to deal with these various companies and banks and what have you. And I think once I saw Mike's clips and once we talked about it and I saw that this was not something that I was alone in, then I just began to kind of apply my general sense of, hey, you don't deserve to be here and you don't deserve to be taken advantage of by predatory lending or banks and companies that are making money on the backs of human beings, of American citizens. I think my way in was just, I got angry. And I just kind of said, I have paid my fair share over the course of my life. I've paid off most of my debts and I've worked hard to get ahead and to see what has happened with this entire industry of taking people's money and complicating and just making their lives a living hell. It just made me angry. So I think in myself, I released myself from the mistake of not having done more homework on this. I knew that the reason that I got into this was because I wanted to help my family. I wanted to help my sister and brother-in-law and my nephew to get ahead. So my reasons for getting involved in this were very much on the up and up. and then to be involved in something. The fact of the matter that the student debt is just so horrendous in this nation. This is not something that should be happening in America.
It really shouldn't. And when we talked last time on the panel, we had sort of talked about your extensive music career and educator and all the actions that you've taken. Has that informed your journey through this student debt crisis, and how?
Absolutely. I'm constantly involved in lower schools and colleges and educational opportunities, seeing students who are not wealthy, whose families are not wealthy. So many of the people I deal with are first generation college students. And in the same way that I look at, for example, first generation homeowners, and I see what has happened with mortgages and all of the mortgage crisis that happened. So yeah, I think I began to educate myself a little bit about what this whole thing was about. Certainly my relationship with Mike Camoin has been really helpful, and looking at the ways that people like Alan Collins have dedicated themselves to trying to solve this crisis. And then I'm always sensitized about our government and the way that they do not really look at situations that make real people's lives harder, that they're in bed with a lot of these powerful people who control the banking industry and control the lending industry, and how you can't get congressmen to go on the record for doing something to solve this problem. So I think as I began to get more information, and as I began to also watch the way this entire film has come together, it gave me more courage to speak to more people about it, and a lot of the shame went away.
Amazing. Can you talk about some of your community activism?
So often, those of us who are in education or those of us who are in activism, we get one topic that we really are working on. You might be working on the environment, or you might be working on voting rights. And we work tirelessly on that topic because, in fact, solving any of those issues is a 24/7 job. But in doing that, we sometimes silo ourselves. We sort of edge out all of the other things that are connected to the very topics that we're working on. And so I've been really working hard to think about intersectionality of all of these things and to talk to other people. Whenever I am talking to someone, for example, about voting rights or any of the issues around civil rights, I'll bring up the student loan crisis. And I'll say to them, do you understand how this is affecting the very people that you're trying to get to vote? Maybe they're not getting to vote because they're having to work three jobs to just meet their expenses for the month. And they're certainly not going to be able to send their kids to school. And if they do, they're going to take a student loan, and that's going to put you further in debt. It's about talking about these subjects in an intersectional way. And then my own situation of just kind of being just more aware of, when I'm dealing with these people, of what my rights are as a citizen. And then writing to my Congress people. I've been writing to Schumer, and I've been writing to my local Representative Antonio Delgado, and trying to get them to focus their energy. I actually went to a town meeting that Antonio Delgado had about a month ago, and I brought up the student loan crisis, and I asked him, you know, what he was doing on this. So it's a matter of just keeping our representatives' feet to the fire.
That's wonderful. I'd love to talk a little bit more about how you use music to evoke change.
Music is my life. And I can't remember a time in my life when music wasn't present and maybe at center. I think I first sang when I was 3 years old. But over the course of years, I have been a person who has used music of the civil rights movement, music of the time in slavery, when people used music as secret codes on the Underground Railroad, when they used it to remind themselves that freedom and justice were at the center of the American experience, of trying to build community. And that's been one of the things I've been using music for, is to build relationships with people so that we can talk about all of these issues. A lot of people think that they just listen to music just to calm them or to make their day go better, which is a really fine way to use music. But music is a wonderful way to pass messages. It's a wonderful way to reinforce our connection to each other. So what I'm always interested in doing is stimulating the public's ability through either music that does affect the way you feel, or music that is topical. Songs that either I write or that have been written about issues in our world, issues in our country that need to be changed. And certainly I started out just hoping to become rich and famous and sing love songs. But over the course of years, I've been much more of a topical songwriter, writing about issues, writing about things that make it hard for us all to live.
When you are feeling in a space that you need to be uplifted, what are some of the things that you put on? What do you listen to help give you hope?
Well, I'm part of a musical community. Folk music is generally geared toward discussing issues and to raising people's awareness and to raising their spirits. But I listen to a lot of jazz, too. I love the improvisational nature of it. I'm kind of the Woody Guthrie school. He said, I love a song that tells you that you are worth something. He said, I love a song that makes you feel like you can really make a difference in the world. I hate a song that tells you that you're not smart enough, or you're not wise enough, you're not educated enough. So I come from the school of Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and Harry Belafonte, who were all about creating atmospheres of pride in people, and also atmospheres of community, so that we know that we're not all working by ourselves. So often the messages in this world are telling us that we have to build our own wealth and we have to make our own way. The way of the world has always been to live in community and to hold each other's burdens. And so that's what I'm interested in doing with my music. If people are listening to my songs, they're hearing that, well, my one song says, we will not rest until the storm is over. We will not lay this burden down. We will keep each other strong. We will love and carry on till we stand all together on solid ground. Another song I wrote, In the Shelter of Each Other, it comes from a phrase, in the shelter of each other, the people live. We've got to get back to being concerned about our neighbor in this nation and being concerned about the issues that affect us all, that we think are just affecting one or two. And I think music is a great way to spread that message.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your documentary experience with Mike, which is this documentary series called Scared to Debt? What did you learn being involved with that?
Well, the first thing I learned is that it's business as usual. I think when we talked before, I mentioned that so much of American story is powerful people taking advantage of the rest of everyone. if we're looking at the beginnings of this nation and people coming to this country either as indentured servants or as slaves. And both of those situations were codified in our government's constitutional foundation. People who have money were able to make more money. And so they were able to co-opt people. Indentured servants coming here and finding out that perhaps the people that they owed money to weren't going to let them out of their lending situation. Of course, we all know the story about slavery. But encased in all of that over the course of years, sharecropping and unfair housing, labor relations. I mean, it all really boils down to the same thing. And as I've talked about civil and human rights in this nation, in my role as a performer and a storyteller, I just see more and more of the same, that it's hard for people to get ahead because some people hold the reins to anyone getting ahead. Today I picked up the newspaper and I saw more articles on the fact that Congress is continuing to not look at situations. They won't even raise the national debt limit. They're not taking care of their business, which is to serve us as citizens. And that just makes me angry. So as I talked to Mike, and as we were working on other projects that we've done, he would constantly bring this up and he would say, can I get you to talk a little bit about not only your debt, but how you see this in the history of our country? And it is so astonishingly similar to the ways in which corporations and banks and powerful rich people have made our lives difficult. So I'm interested in being a part of anything that will help change that.
Is there anything you learned throughout the process of the documentary that made you feel this has really helped me see this problem in a totally different way?
I think the thing that I love about this is that so often we get jaded into thinking that nobody cares, or we think that all of these things are just kind of set in stone, that we have no control. I think as I watch people like Mike and people like Alan and some of the other folks, people like you, who have encountered an issue and then put their lives and their time on the line to investigate the issue and find solutions. This is the way that movements have worked in this nation. This is the way that people got out of slavery. This is the way that the labor movement actually came up with the 40-hour week and the 8-hour day and ended child labor. This is the way that people have dealt with the food crisis here in America, which still exists, unfortunately, in the richest nation in the world. People started working hard to find out what really is happening. I love investigative reporters. I love the fact that so many people are coming clean. There are people of honest integrity who are saying, no, this isn't right. Even people who were part of this entire industry are coming forward and telling what they know. I've had my appreciation for the human spirit and for the integrity that is still present in our world, but is challenged. And I think that as a people and as individuals, we have a responsibility to, in this challenging moment, step up and do our part. And so I love that this message is going out and that it's widening. I love to see all the diverse faces in the Scared to Debt documentary. I love seeing the people who are working hard to expose this entire thing. And I am more than ever committed. You know, we need these messages that all is not lost. So I'm going to say, all is not lost. We got a lot of work to do.
Is there any advice that you would give to your younger self, knowing what you know now?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell my younger self is don't sign that that contract for the student loan. But I would say to my younger self, believe in people more. I would say to my younger self, speak up. I think that for so many years, I let my voice be silenced because I thought I wasn't smart enough. I thought I didn't know enough. I thought that no one would listen to me. And over the course of years, I've learned that I do have a voice that gets heard. My music helped to teach me that, but also working with people on a variety of different issues as I do every day. I would need to remind my younger self that there's power in numbers and there's power in community. So I have come as far as I have come because I have lived in the shelter of others. And I continue to do that every day.
Is there anything that you want to promote before we come to an end?
Well, I will say that one of the other folks that I'm involved in, a man named Rob Shetterly, who was so angry years ago about the way things were going that he began to paint portraits of people that, as he called them, people who tell the truth. He is now up to 254 paintings, and there's a film that's coming out soon called Truth Tellers. And so I would say to folks to watch for that film. It's made by Dick Kane of Maine Masters. It's a great story about a man who was just feeling like all was lost and that he was just so angry every day. And through the painting of these portraits of people like Bayard Rustin, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., of Gandhi, of people in environmental, civil rights, social action, he has painted these portraits and told the story of these people and taken them into schools and taken them into communities to inspire others. So that film, Truth Tellers, will be coming out soon. And I am happy to say that I'm one of the portraits and I'm in the film. You can find me at ReggieHarrisMusic.com. I'm easy to find. And I'm willing at all times to have that conversation with people that makes both of us feel better and more committed to making this world more just.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Matter of Life and Debt is produced by me, Nikki Nolan. Special thanks to F.A. Ackman for creating the music and mastering the audio. Additional support and thanks to Emma Klauber, who writes the information and transcripts about each episode. This podcast would not be possible without them. Visit our website for more information, matteroflifeanddebt.com, where you can listen, read transcripts, get additional context of the subjects you just heard about, subscribe absolutely for free. That website again, matteroflifeanddebt.com. Thanks again for listening.